Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm Peter Tugwell, a practicing clinician, and I hold the Canada Research Chair in Health Equity. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Guidelines.
Dr. Grant had delivered such news before, but never with such a feeling of inadequacy. It was difficult for him to believe this nightmare had such an ordinary beginning. She was one of many patients he had seen recently with flu-like symptoms, fever, chills, nausea, fatigue. When she told him that she had just arrived with her three girls from the Democratic Republic of the Congo to join her husband, Dr. Grant hadn't given that fact much thought. All those places, Congo, Morocco, Angola, Sudan, seemed so distant, so irrelevant here. So he prescribed an antiviral and told her to stay home for a week. Now he had to explain to her husband, in front of their children, that there is no hope. "I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do." How could this be? It seemed so obvious now. It was not the flu, of course, but everything seemed to fit. Fever, chills, nausea, fatigue. How could he have imagined it was anything else? Why would he expect to see a case of malaria? 4 years out of residency, he had been confident in his abilities. He thought he was a good doctor, a prepared doctor. Now he knew otherwise. The husband, grief-stricken, held their youngest child on his knee. The eldest child, just 11, put her arm around her younger sister, not fully understanding what was happening, but already stepping into her mother's shoes. "I'm very sorry," Dr. Grant repeated. "We will make her as comfortable as we can."
Dr. Kevin Potty is the lead author of the research summary of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health. Hello, Dr. Potty.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Potty, we have heard a quite dramatic situation. What happened to Dr. Grant?
Physicians will always feel particularly bad in the context of a preventable death. Malaria is an important illness that can occur after migration in what was previously a healthy individual. This is the central aim of our guidelines, is to highlight preventable and treatable conditions that may benefit from clear and practical recommendations.
But I really don't get why Dr. Grant was not thinking about malaria. Did he miss something at medical school? Is not teach there?
I think we're finally realizing that immigrants and refugees has often been a neglected population. There's always the assumption that the local health system, the local health practitioners, will simply be able to handle the needs of this new group of patients. I think what has often lacked was evidence-based guidelines that could significantly impact our teaching, our health practice, and potentially some policies as well.
I find it really strange, anyway, that the patient died from malaria. So I thought that all immigrant and refugee have a medical exam before coming to the country. So is that true? And how they miss that condition?
Yeah, absolutely. Immigrants are screened by the Government of Canada prior to arrival, and on arrival, they are actually healthier than the Canadian-born population. But we know there's a decline in this health. So I picture it like a moving peloton of healthy people from many countries from around the world, but some will begin to fall off the peloton or experience a decline in health. And we hope that our evidence-based guidelines will better prepare our practitioners to prevent this decline and keep this group healthy and productive.
So the idea is that immigrants and refugees, they arrive healthier, but some of them, they get much worse than the average Canadian population?
Well, what we know is that there's definitely a decline in health, and this decline in health we see varies across groups depending on which part of the world they're coming from, and it also could vary because our practitioners are unfamiliar with some of the health needs, or our health system is not as geared to their potential care needs.
And then with all these challenges, how the guidelines can play a role to contribute on the health of immigrant and refugees?
Well, I think what makes our guidelines unique is that we insist on finding evidence for clear benefits before recommending routine interventions. We used a systematic approach to build on evidence from previous systematic reviews, and we also searched for specific information on immigrant populations in comparison to the general Canadian population. And then we were very clear when we actually made a recommendation that we wanted to be explicit in terms of comparing the balance of benefits and harms of screening. We wanted to understand the quality of the evidence that exists. We also stated the actual values and preferences that were also important for making that recommendation.
There are other recommendations around. Why these guidelines are important or unique?
Well, I think what is emerging is guidelines from immigrant receiving countries that in the future, I believe, when we develop the methods such as we have developed, that will start to allow us to actually develop recommendations that will be appropriate for migrant populations moving around the world. And I think that this our evidence-based methods will provide the basis that could allow for future international recommendations that can be integrated into the migration process.
Dr. Potti, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
There are three key points to remember regarding the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Clinical Preventive Care Recommendations for newly arriving immigrants and refugees to Canada. Number one, although most migrants arrive in good health, certain subgroups face health risks because of differing disease exposures, genetic predispositions, social and cultural determinants, and impaired access to appropriate preventive and curative health services. Number two, preventive healthcare topics that focused on inequities in health and clinical care gaps were chosen for study, and recommendations were formulated using systematic evidence reviews linked to GRADE guideline development. Number three, clinical preventive recommendations covering cervical cancer, depression, contraception, hepatitis B, HIV, iron deficiency anemia, oral health, pregnancy, tuberculosis, and vision health are presented in this article. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health, produced in cooperation with the Canadian Medical Association Journal and the Cochrane Equity Methods Group.